Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's not that I disliked them. I thought they were frauds.
Okay.
I was like, they were frauds. So I didn't really, my hate was towards sports hate. Was towards LeBron James and the Cavaliers.
Okay.
I didn't really sports hate the Rockets.
Did you sports hate Cleveland?
It did.
Okay. Do you feel the same way about Cleveland?
Of course
today?
Not. Of course not. But they
do you
met
see
in
where
the
I'm
finals.
Going with this?
They met in the finals, and that is done. Because of LeBron James. LeBron James was basically the rival. And he's gone to the Lakers, which is why it intensifies that rivalry.
I agree. But that's where I'm going out with
the Rockets.
Russ.
The Rockets.
Russ, like, you know, like when Tavares Jackson was quarterbacking the Seahawks, it did nothing for me. I mean, it's like, it's just another team, you know? And again, maybe I'm alone in this one. Small part of me will be kind of like missing. Because, look, when you have someone like Russ, I think he's the greatest foe in my lifetime against the Niners. Brett Favre is probably number two, just because you've played Russ more. Brett Favre, I mean, he obviously stopped you from Super Bowls and knocked you off in the playoffs time and time again, and you only got him a couple of times.
Yeah.
But Russ, man, I mean, it's been a decade. He's owned you for a decade.
I can't stand the Seahawks. And when Russ moves on, I'm going to still have that same dislike for the Seattle Seahawks. One is the fans, and 925 says it perfectly here on the text line. Seahawk fans are insufferable. Part of the rivalry, part of rivalries, is the trash talk between the fan bases. Seahawk fans cannot stand the 49ers. They take pride in coming down to Levi's Stadium and flying their little flag, the little 12 flag, and they wave it around everywhere. Hey, we're the 12s. This is our stadium. Niner fans don't show up, but we do.
Well, you know
they take pride in their little speaker box stadium, as you like to call it, where they pump in the crowd noise. I will forever dislike the Seattle Seahawks. And right now, to me, when it comes to rivalries with the Niners, Cowboys...
It's lost a lot of its
luster. It's lost a lot of luster.
They haven't
met. But if they meet in the playoffs this season, you can maybe rekindle some of that magic that you had in the 90s between the two teams.
New York Giants?
Packers.
Oh, yeah. Packers, for sure. How did I omit the Packers?
Packers is a rivalry.
Absolutely.
Packers is a rival. New York Giants, they've stunk so bad.
I know, but I hate
them.
The
last few times. I can't stand them.
Bonte,
I can't stand
them. I've been to three separate playoff games at Candlestick against the New York Giants.
Yeah.
Three into the last 20-something years.
Can't stand them. 888-957-9570. Roasters, will you hate the Seahawks even more once Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll move on?
Are the Saints on there for you? Because they are for me. I hate the Saints. The old NFC West, and we always seem to play them. Like, it seems like we play down in that stadium all the time.
Yeah.
And the who dat or whatever their chant is now.
They hate the Niners more than we hate them.
I still hate them.
I remember going down to New Orleans. I had this Giants debit card from Bank of America back in the day.
Okay.
And I remember eating at this restaurant, and a waiter, he was hella cool. He was like, "You're from San Francisco, man? Damn, I don't even want to ring this car. I don't even want to swipe this card through our ATM system, man. I can't stand y'all."
I probably knew it was going to get declined.
Well, that too. What a nice little joke there. Look at that. Look at you. Come on with the one-liners there. Look at you.
And behind the glass,
that's the best part. Hopefully on Twitch. Twitch, you can't see this. Shasky says his little one-liner, looks behind the glass looking for a laugh, and Langford's just like,
approval.
Look down. Just like,
just keep your eyes forward.
Yeah,
you don't need to look back here for approval.
Back for validation.
Trust in your own comedy that the joke was fun. That the joke was funny.
I need validation.
He's not even confident in his own joke.
If you tell a good joke and nobody laughs, did you really tell a good joke?
As long as you think it's funny, that's all that matters. Yeah, that's what I've lived my life by. Hasn't worked out too well, but you know. I'm not going to react every single time.
Yeah, thank you, Langford. That's just unbelievable. Everything he's talking. Hey, Langford, let me start looking back at the window for the people on Broadway driving. Hey, Shasky.
I'm rubbernecking.
Hey, Shasky, you're wrong about the Seahawks rivalry.
As Bonte.
Start doing that. But as I was in New Orleans, as I was saying, Saints fans hate the Niners. They can't stand them.
Declined.
They can't stand them. Not a car was working in New Orleans, baby. I loaded that baby up.
I love how you loaded went from debit up. To credit.
Yeah.
Hey, 20 debit. Years later,
I keep
baby.
It real. I keep it real. Your boy was balling on the budget.
Oh, who wasn't?
Your boy was balling on the budget. You've been in sales for 20 years. I was balling on the budget. You know, grinding, taking layover flights, Spirit Airlines.
See, that's where you need to have the Nipsey. Grinding all my life.
Doing what I had to do.
When he was the water cooler man at City College.
Yeah, when I was a water cooler man, boy was broke. But look, Saints fans hate the Niners. I don't like the Saints. Mm-hmm. But I know when the Niners play the Saints, all right, it's going to be tough football here.
Big boy football.
Big boy football. But the Seahawks are always, they're in the NFC West now.
I know.
We're going to have to see them twice a year and fly up there to Seattle to that stadium. And you don't think they want to kind of, you know what? We're 3-8 right now. Let's play spoiler here. You don't think they want to play spoiler this Sunday to the 49ers? And if they beat the Niners this Sunday, you're going to hate them even more. Like right now, the Rams, it's gaining steam, but it ain't there for me yet. It's not there for me yet.
Oh, my God. As much as I hear about McVay on this show, it is absolutely there for me. I hate the Rams. Hate them.
Yeah, I don't. They've been nothing for so long.
Oh, dude. See,
and this is the problem. Growing up in the 90s, since you want to go back to the 90s, Niners won 23 straight against these dudes.
Yeah, but against
the
Rams.
And blew them out every single time.
Against the Rams. When I started going to Candlestick in 2000, you know, I would go every single week because it was the end of high school.
When they were the St. Louis Rams.
And they kicked the crap out of us.
They were the St.
Louis
Rams.
And they dismantled us for years, dude. There was like an 8-year period where they had Mark Bulger and Jamie Moyer came in, or Jamie Martin came in and just dismantled us. Mike Martz freaking beat us. I hate the Rams.
All right, Roasters.
And their fake gold pants when they were in Seattle and St. Louis. Hated those gold pants. They had no business wearing that gold.
You hate a lot of things, man.
Although I did like the Nelly videos.
It's easy for you to hate a lot of things, man. You're unbelievable. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Station brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
But I don't have that same hatred toward the Falcons or the Panthers who used to be in the NFC West.
No,
the Saints are exclusive. It just feels like crazy stuff happens in that dome every time the Niners go down there.
Oh, San Francisco is coming out. Closet Cowboy fan?
I just want to see the old man feel good at the end of his life. That's all.
Come on, man. Nobody wants, no Niner fan in their right mind wants to see Jerry Jones win a Super Bowl. That may be, you said a lot of things on the show.
I didn't want him to win the Super
Come
Bowl.
Come on, man. Just you said you want him to win.
I just want him to be good. Good enough so we can
they
beat
them
in the playoffs.
They are good enough. They're fine.
Yeah, they're perfect.
Nobody wants
right
the Cowboys to win.
Niners, Cowboys.
Imagine a Niner fan wanting the Cowboys to hoist the Lombardi.
I don't want them to hoist the Lombardi.
You just said that.
I just said it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
People. Maybe it would fire up the Niners to actually do something.
Huh?
I don't even know.
What are you? Why don't you look behind a glass for validation with that one?
No, I won't.
What are you doing?
No.
Charlie's got his hands up on his head.
They do look vulnerable. Watching them last night. By the way, seeing Taysom Hill last night. I mean, Jesus.
He's not my cousin. I just
not your cousin. Who thinks Taysom Hill's your cousin?
Some people think I look white. Steve Kerr replay coming up at 7:30, by the way. Warriors Suns later on tonight. It's a big game. Eddie Johnson.
Do you hate the Cardinals? The Arizona Cardinals?
I don't.
I don't either.
But I'm starting to dislike them.
And we've had a lot of like good games against them.
I'm starting to dislike them, though. Okay. They're starting to get on my nerves.
I got Cliff. I kind of like Cliff.
Dude, this guy, man.
I just like him. He's a good coach.
Now you like Cliff?
Well, I mean, kind of.
You and Kate was roasting the guy last year for being in his mansion with the swimming pool.
When presented with new information.
I was like, yo, Cliff's got swag. Yeah. I got to get up with that. All right. You know,
am I alone on this? Am I the only one who thinks the rivalry is going to die when Pete and Russ leave?
It'll ratchet back up. There'll be somebody else. DK maybe. Bobby Wagner's
they
still
might
around.
Do a complete overhaul.
They might. But you know what? Their fan base ain't going nowhere.
Would you take DK?
Of course I would. What kind of question is that?
He's so sick.
Would I take $1 million if you handed it to me? Sure, absolutely. You did forget your timeless coffee.
Decaf Metcalf.
What was that?
Wait. Can you play that over?
Decaf Metcalf.
That was when Joe Tessitore was on the broadcast. Remember that back in the day with Joe Tessitore and Boog? And when the Seahawks were playing on Monday night, it was
Decaf Metcalf.
Wow.
Wow. Let's go to the lines. Shane. Shane in section 226.
What's up, Sugar Shane?
Sugar Shane, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Oh, my God. You guys, so much content to hit. First of all, as my Aunt Caroline used to say, Shane, you don't hate anything. You dislike it strongly. So I'm right there with you, Bonte. Okay. Jerry Jones. He's gone full Al Davis. I'm sorry, Shasky, but he still thinks it's 1990.
That's true.
He's trying to run that team. He's a football guy. Totally appreciate him, but he's gone full Al Davis, and that team's not going to win a Super Bowl as long as Jerry Jones is running the team. Pete is the thing that I absolutely hate up there with his chewing his gum, throws a football, the number of yards, the age that he is, drives me insane. Russ, I got nothing but love for him. They totally screwed him, but Pete, got to get rid of that guy. Can't stand him.
Will the rivalry still be there if both of them are not Seahawks?
Well, I mean, it's a win there is worth two, right? So there'll always be a conference rivalry, you know, even now if they completely stink. And you guys are talking about we only won 5 games up there in 20 years.
Yeah.
Remember, for about 10 of those years, the Niners were absolutely terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, more than
5 of those years. For 5 of those years, we were both really good. And then, you know, and then now you got, then throw that in, and you got about 5 games. So I think, you know, conference, it'll always be a rivalry, but it was pretty awesome there for a while when we were both good. That was awesome.
With that, thanks for the call, Shane. 226. By the way, our boy Arturo, flying up to Seattle. There's still a lot of Niner fans flying up to Seattle.
It's a good trip.
He's going up there. He said, I'm headed to Seattle to cook some sea chickens. Let's go.
Well, you know what? I got to say, so one of my favorite wins, that it wasn't a playoff win. It wasn't even a winning season, but one of my favorite wins of all time, that of all the games that I've been to in my life, is the straight rainstorm game where Nick Mullins beat Russell Wilson and Russ threw a dime in over, I think it was overtime, down the line. It was definitely late fourth quarter. And I don't know, Lockett or whoever just dropped the ball, just straight up dropped the ball down in the sideline. And the Niners find a way to kick a game-winning field goal in the rain, and everyone is leaving Levi Stadium chanting Niners. It was pretty badass.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to win that game. 26-23, December 16th, 2018. I remember being at that game. I was pretty dry. And went to overtime. It was an overtime game.
That's what I said. Yeah,
no, I didn't hear that.
I think Russ fumbled in the pocket at some point. The Niners were somehow moving the ball. That was a fun game.
Nick Mullins threw for 275.
I was sitting in that game, and it was pouring,
Monte. It wasn't fun.
Pouring.
I know. I was dry.
For 4 hours.
I was in the press box. I was press box Ponte that day. Let's go to film on Mike. Filmo Mike, man. No. Oh, we got a break. All right. Hold on, Filmo. Shambri, Mike. We'll get to you guys on the other side. Didn't even lost track of the time because Shasky's up here saying, I want Jerry Jones to win again and die happy.
What? And Luca Brasi's overrated.
You should have heard Curly back here when you were about to go to Filmo. He was like, no.
Calm down, Curly. It's okay. What's coming up on the game?
You gotta slow down on Curly, bro.
He's like the coach that's running out onto the field and throwing the red challenge flag right before the play gets snapped.
Curly's actually doing work on a Friday, man. That's what happens when you get paid. All of a sudden, you got a pep in your damn step. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by BioNTech and Pfizer. Come rain or shine, high winds or mild breezes, blue skies or gray, it's a great time to consider getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Filmo, Shambri, Mike, get you on the side. And Steve Kerr replay coming up at 7:30. The coach had a lot to say with Damian Arado yesterday right here on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, back to the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee with Fonte and Shasky.
This is my jam right here.
You picked this one?
No.
This is a really good one. It was picked from the Odyssey exclusive stations on the classic Christmas songs playlist when you go to the holiday genre. This is a really good one from Stevie Wonder. Christmas means to me. It's one of my favorites. Used very well in the movie Elf.
I'm a huge Stevie Wonder fan. Hotter than the 4th of July, baby.
You don't see prodigies like that anymore. No, where it's like, this dude's just making, he's a multi-instrumentalist at 13 and just making hitter after hitter after hitter.
If you go down the YouTube rabbit hole, you'll find a lot of things where people think that Stevie can see.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to get all conspiracy theory on you, but there was one where he was like, he stopped someone from falling off a stage. Another one where he grabbed a mic that was falling. It's just a little, I'm not saying that he's not, you know, blind. They're saying that maybe he has a little bit of vision.
Big shout out to Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq, because he's Shaq. I was just about to go to the Shaq story where he got into an elevator, right, Langford, with Stevie Wonder. And apparently Stevie Wonder knew which button to press, which floor to get off. And Shaq's like, Stevie's not blind. This is a joke. This is a joke.
It's a hell of a bit, though.
It's a hell of a bit. You know, Random and his dad.
Hashtag?
Hashtag Random. Oleg Novikov and his father.
It's a great first name.
Oleg?
Yeah, it really is.
So Oleg has a random picture of Stevie Wonder in the garage with an autograph, because Oleg used to drive limos. And one day he picked Stevie Wonder up from the airport, and he was like, man, this is Stevie Wonder. So what the hell's going on? Drove Stevie Wonder somewhere in San Francisco, dropped him off, and he was, you know, was like, oh, is it cool if I get a picture or autograph? He was like, give me your mailing address. We'll send you one. And they sent them a picture with an autograph.
I thought maybe that he was driving around with a portfolio of various celebrity pictures and was like, hey, can you sign this book?
No, like a
stamp book.
I think Oleg, he was just in America. He was like maybe 3 years deep into America after they came from Belarus. By the way, download the Odyssey app, the new Odyssey exclusive station on the Odyssey app. Brought to you in part by Macy's, Geico, and Coke Zero Sugar. 408, did you get him, Bonte? No, I did not get him. As you see here on Twitch, can you guys see that?
Is that brown? Those look like Padres.
Yeah, these are like white and brown. These
are those J's?
Those are J's. Ones? The Air Jordan 1 Retro High OG. Yeah. Your submission wasn't selected. Thank you for joining the draw. It didn't work out this time. You know what, sneaker app? It never works out! It never works out.
So many L's.
I'm now like 1-38 on a sneaker app. And I don't even try anymore. And 408, Hey, Bonte, sneaker wrap, new drop at 7 o'clock. I go into the draw and say, man, maybe my day.
No it wonder
may be
you
my
were
day.
So salty last segment. You were trying to multitask.
No, I wasn't salty last segment. You were salty. You were talking about Jerry Jones. You want to see Jerry Jones win.
I just
want to
see an old man have one last moment.
You want to see the Cowboys have one shining moment.
No,
how
not,
dare you?
Not necessarily that way.
No,
I'm just saying,
yes.
As I see his mortality start to come to an end, what? You know, I get a little nostalgic.
What?
I don't even know what I'm saying.
You don't know what you're saying right now. You're saying anything right now. 305, Bonte, you better bring your A game tonight on Warriors postgame. Damn. Don't I always bring my A game? I think I do.
Are you going to be down there?
No, we're going to be in studio.
I'm
you
at
the
game.
Did you get tickets?
Oh, yeah.
To the Higgins special?
No.
You bought them?
No. She might be listening, so I don't want to. I'll explain to you later how I got the tickets.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mike in Daly City. What's happening, Mike? By the way, Steve Kerr replay coming up at 7:30. Don't want to miss that.
ESPN
Steve
Kerr. Game, too, tonight.
NBC Sports Bay Area game.
Yeah.
They flexed the Lakers and Clippers out. We don't care about that.
Take that, Spadoni, you Laker fan, driving in.
Mike in Daly City.
He is listening,
good morning.
Too.
He is listening. He's a P1.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Mike?
What up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, closet Dallas Cowboy fan and Mr. Bonta Hill?
Sorry.
Hey, what's up,
one
baby?
Of my friends is in, I was talking to one of my friends. He's an insufferable Seahawks fan, and he said it best. He goes, you know what? There's no rivalry between Russell Wilson and the 49ers. And I go, why? And he goes, 19-4. He's beating you 80% of the time he's played you. One of them was even, last game, was even lucky that we were able to beat him. So I'm like, shut up. I don't care. He goes, 19-4. If it was like 13-10, that's a rivalry. But when you shellack us that many times, I don't know what to say.
Wow.
I kind of understand where you're coming from, but when both teams were great, again, we're going back to 2014. I mean, that was January of 2014. When both teams were great, I mean, you know, I remember the McDonald's commercial. Do you remember it? Russ and Cap?
Oh, yeah, the Madden commercial.
Well, they had a McDonald's one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I remember the Madden one, though.
Yeah, I remember the Madden one, but they also had a McDonald's commercial leading up to the Super Bowl that Kaepernick actually played in. They filmed it in the beginning of the playoffs. And anyway, it's just, you know, who do you want? Who would you take for the next 10 years?
It was crazy.
And I wanted Cap, and right. I would have taken Cap, and I was wrong.
But that's what makes it more of a rivalry to me as a Niner fan, knowing that can't beat that guy. Just like Brett Favre, the reason why the Packers, would you say Niners-Packers was a rivalry?
Absolutely.
By that logic, by Mike in Daly
Absolutely.
City, there is no rivalry for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
They lost to the Niners once.
Is Michigan-Ohio State a rivalry?
Absolutely.
Even though they're only 1-5 over the last six?
No, they're like 2-7.
I'm talking about the Harbaugh era.
Yeah,
my bad.
Harbaugh
my
era.
Bad.
Yeah.
I should have clarified.
Yeah. No, Harbaugh, yeah, exactly. Rivalries don't matter. That's what makes them more intensified. I don't know. I'm going to hate Seattle for a long time. Sports hate, dislike. Now we have to like.
I'm allowing the hate. It's all good. Let the hate flow. I'm a huge Star Wars fan.
Let's
all right? There's the light and the dark. The balance, baby. Let's do this.
Let's go to Philbo Mike, man. He's probably going to roast me about
let
music.
Let the hate
or
run flow.
Philbo,
through
whenever
you,
Philbo calls, it's funny. We grew up together, but whenever Philbo calls, he just roasts me about something,
coming
man.
Coming for your dome.
Man, coming for the head, man. Hold on.
Through you.
Hold on. Let me strap up my bulletproof vest real quick as I prepare for
that
this drive-by.
That don't help a dome shot.
You're going to catch me like Kane in Menace of Society. No.
Nah, you good, but I tell you, you know, we day ones, man. That's why I could call you and get on you because we are day ones. I don't do this with Willard and Dibbs and them and Rattle and whoever. I know you, so I call you, get on your line, roast you, critique you, because I love you. It's all love. No
hate. That's real love right there. It is real love. What's up, Philbo?
Yeah,
because
I would tell you could continue to say Vanilla Apple Bomb all day long. If I didn't love you, I would let you do that. But anyway, and I don't know what a Makibo is. I thought it was a type of martial art. Anyway, the Niners rivalries are as follows. Now let me break it down.
Yeah,
the Raiders. Is a location rivalry.
Agreed.
We hardly play. It's more for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like a fan thing. I'm from the East Bay. You from the city. Boom, boom, boom. Or, you know, the Niners are soft. Mm-hmm. The Raiders are tough and hard. Boom, boom. Like, that's a rivalry
thing.
Seattle is a new thing. as, because really, I be getting mad at Raider fans. I'm like, bro, how you root for the Seahawks when the Raiders and Seahawks, is that's a real rivalry
exactly.
30, 40 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Rivalry in which it got intensified because we were playing high-stake games in the playoffs, so we were playing three games a year. So that automatically became a rivalry. I don't really think it necessarily has to do with Russ or
Pete,
the coach, but I think that it does add to it. Again, two more rivalries. The Saints, right, and the Packers
agreed.
Are teams that they're rivals, but they're more so playoff rivals.
Yep.
We see them in the playoffs, you know, big game rivals. It's not a true, real rivalry, but we hate them when we see them.
Mm-hmm.
No
the
doubt.
The Rams is another location thing.
Yeah.
But with the Rams, right, what happened was we used to beat up on the Rams.
Yep.
The overall record is almost tied. But we used to beat up on them. When they went to St. Louis and started blowing us out, oh, yeah, we was rivals with the Rams then. We hated the Rams.
Thank you.
Last but not least, the Dallas Cowboys is the all-time hated team of the Niners. The problem is they haven't been relevant for the last 25 years.
That's right.
But when Dallas fans and Niner fans get together, it's a lot of weird Dallas fans in the Bay Area. And Niner fans hate them to the fullest.
Yep. Daryl DeCuru Johnson.
You got him in Phil, HP, Lee Stokely. Got a lot of losers. Last but not least, New England Patriots are an AFC fan, or an AFC rivalry. Y'all have a great one. I'm sorry to carry that on.
I love it. I would throw the New York Giants into the playoff rivalry
with
the Packers and the Saints. And I think he hit it right on the head there.
The New York Giants is definitely a rival.
Well, and you also have to
understand Big Blue.
You have to understand from the Dallas Cowboy perspective, they've got like 15 rivals, right?
Yes.
I mean, like they've got the Steelers, they've got the Eagles, the Eagles, the Redskins.
Yep.
Excuse me, Washington.
Washington football
I've done
team.
That every
Washington
single football day this
team.
Week.
Yeah, Washington football
Sorry.
Team. I still do it.
I apologize.
Who else? The New York Giants, of course.
Yes.
The Packers. Yeah. They got a lot of rivals.
They've got zillions.
Shambry in Arizona, real quick before we get to Steve Kerr. Shambry, what's happening?
Hey, yeah, Shasky, man, you tripping. There ain't no way in hell I'm finna root for the Cowboys to
just
do any damn good.
Just to make the playoffs to play us.
Cannot do nothing. Well, playoffs, whatever. It don't matter. I don't want to see them do a damn thing.
Okay.
But listen, I'll try and make this real quick. I think you got to break it down into two categories. Like you guys said, fan base-wise, for me personally, it's Seattle number one, Arizona, and then St. Louis. Just talking about the NFC West. Now, when you come to the franchise, I will put the Rams, Seahawks, and then Arizona there. But for me, even if they're gone, I'm still going to hate them just because of the fans.
Mm.
And I put Arizona above that because being out here, I can tell you personally, these dudes are major fair weather fans.
Oh, my God. Shambry, I was out there two weekends in a row about a month ago. Now, you have one of the best teams in football in that area. And I saw nothing but Packer and Steelers fans.
Yeah, no, they're transient. And Arizona's one of those tourist cities where a lot of people retire from.
Yes.
A lot of Chicago fans.
From the north.
Bears, Cubs.
Yeah.
Yep, they go down there because of that good old weather. We got Steve Kerr coming up, but a couple jokes here on YouTube.
Give me the jokes.
The Roasters. Shasky auditioning to be a backup dancer in the next Beastie Boys video with that jumpsuit. That's pretty good.
I mean,
come on, you got to laugh at that one. That's pretty good.
This has got Tony Soprano written all over it. I'd rather be Chris. Can I be Chris? Is it DeSimanti? How do you pronounce it? I always forget his last name.
That's a pretty good show.
Did you see the new one?
No, I have not seen it yet.
It's so good.
Don't tell me Guru and Joe be watching Cowboy games on the low. That's Kane from Oakland.
No.
Can't believe Guru's a Cowboy fan, man.
No.
It does rub me the wrong way.
Because he's Mr. 70s. So
they
were good in the 70s. It makes sense.
He's a Cowboy. He's a Cowboy fan. Look, he almost looked back at Lake for the other. He had to stop himself.
Hey,
he wanted to look back at Lake for that joke.
I'm telling you right now, if I could create the greatest chart right now for the 49ers this year, you take out Pete and Russ this weekend, and you sign me up week one of the playoffs, that wild card weekend, now that it's like the super wild card weekend, Saturday night game, Niners-Cowboys.
Oh, man.
Come on, B.
I may have to find
Would that
down
be
there.
Bigger than the five-game series between the Giants and Dodgers?
Ooh,
I think it would because it's a one-game thing.
No, it would be bigger, but damn, it'd be close.
It'd be pretty close.
I may have to fly out of that.
I may
have to fly out of that.
We will.
You don't travel outside of San Francisco.
What are you talking about? I just went to the worst college football game of the year. Your boy got bona fides. Michelle, me and Roxy Bernstein. We went to the Cal-Arizona football game.
Please explain.
Thank you, Roxy.
I was waiting on that. Sneaker rap.
You're telling me right now.
That's something to hate, the sneaker rap.
If I can sign you up, Russ and Pete, take them out. Extinguish them. Take over the fifth seed. You knock the Rams down a couple pegs where they have to face, let's say, Tampa Bay or somebody.
And they get smacked.
And then you get the Dallas Cowboys.
Look.
Sign me up.
I don't even know if you want to be signed up for that, because if Jerry wins, you'll be on the airways. You know, we lost, but I'm happy for Jerry.
Yeah.
He's got one more shiny moment. I'm happy for Jerry.
Are you kidding me?
I can't believe you had this Jerry Jones look.
You know what shirt I would bust out? I got a very specific Dallas shirt that I would bust out.
Do you hate the Rams more or McVay more? Is the reason why you hate the Rams is because of McVay?
Well, because every single day you shove McVay down my throat.
I don't do that.
Like he's the second coming of Christ.
Oh, come on.
I mean, come on, dude. Seriously. The great white hope, Sean McVay.
All right.
Oh, he's so amazing. They're the least physical team in the division. I'm so sick of hearing about the Rams. Frauds.
From Joe Shasky's love affair with Jerry Jones.
He is the most disingenuous fraud.
To his hate of Sean McVay. To his love for Carlito's Way and my disdain for Carlito's Way.
He's entering the Doc Rivers portion of his career where his voice is always hoarse and he's always explaining a tough loss down the stretch of a season. I'm so sick of McVay. I got Stafford. Yeah, so you could choke in December and January again? So sick of the Rams. Oh, look at our $5 billion stadium. Oh, my God.
I'm jealous of that stadium. I'm telling you, that stadium's pretty sick.
I ain't jealous of it. I'm going to go down there and take over that thing in January when we take them out and we take that fifth seed and they drop down to the seventh seed.
A dirty little secret here? That stadium's a lot better than Levi's.
That might be true.
Oh, that is
true. Yeah, but Shanahan's better than McVay.
There's no might.
That is facts.
There's no might.
What do you guys think about Steve Kerr?
Oh, Steve Kerr. Yeah, I think a lot about Steve Kerr.
Too.
Steve Kerr, look. Damon Arado yesterday at 5 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game. Steve Kerr, right off the bat, was asked about how well played that game was on the defensive end of the court floor. It was so well played defensively. I think that's the first question. Yes, it was about defense, defense, defense. Hey, Steve Kerr, what about that defense in that game against the Phoenix Suns Tuesday night?
Yeah, it did feel like a playoff game, Damon. I mean, both teams got after it. It was a very physical game. And as you guys know, the game has gotten a lot more physical this year just with the rule changes. So it was hard to find any footing in that game for us offensively. I thought Phoenix did a great job. They did a lot of good things defensively. And, watching the tape, I think it's a one-point game with 4 minutes left, and we haven't had anything going at all, and you're on the road, so we gave ourselves a chance, and it's a testament to our team that on a night when really we couldn't get much going other than Jordan Poole and Otto knocking down some big shots, but we couldn't really get into a rhythm offensively, and we didn't play particularly well, we still had a shot, so it was a good effort. We just couldn't get it done.
Was the length of Bridges and Ayton a bigger factor than the physicality that you just alluded to that is allowed to be played now that a couple of years ago in the NBA was not allowed to be played? Was it physical in nature, or was it just the size? And, you got a winged defender in Bridges who has 9.5 foot long arms, for goodness sakes.
Right. Yeah, well, when I say physical, I mean, it's both ways, right? I mean, Draymond's one of the most physical players in the league, and so I think the new rules benefit us in a lot of ways. And we don't have a lot of guys who kind of seek out fouls and play the way that some of the guys in the league have been playing the last few years. So I like the new rules. It was a physical game, but it was a game that was really cleanly played, and I thought Phoenix's length and their scheme, they were really on a string, all five guys together on their switches. They didn't really make many mistakes, and they have a team that just went to the finals, so they're obviously really, really talented and well coached and well put together.
Was there anything tactical or structural that was different about Phoenix, or did they just do what they normally do very well?
Well, everybody that we play has a plan for Steph. You know, there's going to be a big physical defender on him. There's going to be help everywhere. People are going to blitz him, trap him, you know, switch on him. He's seen it all. And I think the key the other night was that Phoenix really didn't make mistakes. You know, generally speaking, when you throw a lot of people at Steph, you're going to make some mistakes at time. And I felt like Phoenix was really disciplined and did not make many mistakes at all. So give them credit, and we'll have another crack at them tomorrow.
Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, weekly conversation. It's always good to have him here on 95.7 The Game. I saw that Steph Curry has shot 8 free throws in his last 4 games, and 4 of them have been him shooting techs. So that means he's gone to the line twice on a shot in 4 games. It's been, 84 shots he has taken in those last 4 games, and I think he actually gets hacked more off the ball than on the ball. I don't want to get you in trouble with any zebras, Steve, but to me, this is an officiating abomination. He is the most disrespected, straight-up, bona fide living superstar. I think maybe in all of sports. Is there anything you can do to fix that? Can you start getting ejected from games? Can you start raining hellfire on officials, either publicly or privately, in the locker room? I mean, what can be done about what I think is a serious blind spot in officiating?
Well, I think one of the things that happens with Steph is that he's very different from most stars, in that he often plays without the ball. You know, he's so good moving without the ball. And so I think in the NBA, you know, the officials are very much in tune with pick and roll play, you know, looking at the ball handler, seeing where the contact comes versus the ball handler, maybe less so when it comes to off ball stuff. And, we always point it out if we think he's getting held and, you know, if he's getting knocked down, whatever it is, we point that out to the officials. And, you know, if you feel like it's an issue, you can send clips into the league. You can file a formal complaint with the league, all that kind of stuff. But, I have no problem with the officiating this year. I think it's been really good. I think I like the new rules. Are there times when Steph could get a call? Absolutely. But I think every coach would probably say that, you know, about his best player. So it's all been fine with me.
About officiating, how pleased were you when Steph teched Brian Forte, and would you like him to do that more often?
Yeah, I was pretty upset on that one too. That was the Clipper game you're referring
yes.
to Sunday afternoon, and I thought there were some missed ones, and that one in particular was pretty egregious. You know, just not having the defender not having position, and there being that amount of contact in transition, that looked like an easy one to me. But Steph got upset, and when he does, he frequently goes off like he did in that game. So if that's what motivates him, then whatever it takes.
Let me follow up. Giving the tee, though, is what made that special. I almost would accept the fact that that was a dodgy call because of what we got as a result. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody else tee up an official, but I thought it was grand theater.
I love that. That was fun. I mean, when he got his little revenge, I guess, after making his third straight three. Steph's an entertainer. We know that. And that was amusing.
Should build a whistle into his mouth guard. He can start blowing it. That'd be good, too. Steve, you went on Sam Amick's podcast recently, and you talked about how expletive deleted you want to win. And I absolutely love that. That sounds, fair or not, different than the Steve Kerr who said, you know, we're not chasing wins a year ago. And I know you hate that gets slapped on you, and people keep bringing that up. But there's no doubt that the chasing of wins is back. And is that coming from you or just the circumstances that this team finds itself under, the start that no one really saw coming?
Well, yeah, I deserved that for using that phrase last year. I mean,
I'm pretty sure you wanted to win then too. You know, I'll give you that.
I wanted to win. I think the context of the quote was important. You know, the whole point was I don't want to chase wins by playing Steph 40 minutes a night when he's got, you know, 6 or 7 years left in his career.
Steve, this is Sports Talk Radio. We don't do context. Come on.
Yeah. You like to clip stuff, so that's fine. But you know, that's my mistake for using that choice of words. But look, the point is, you know, we were not great last year. We were in development mode. We were in, you know, we knew we were without Clay. We were in a position where, you know, I was not going to burn Steph Curry out in a year like that. And I've always been very frank and honest. You guys know that I chose my words poorly because it allowed everybody to latch onto them. This is a totally different year. We have a championship contender. You know, we're now in a position where we are one of the best teams in the league. And, I want to win every year, but, you know, when you're in a position to win big, there's a fire that burns, you know, beneath you every day because you feel it. You're close, and I think that's the sense this year.
Is there anything that makes you? Let me ask it this way: does Andre Iguodala being unavailable change your rotation more than you thought it would, and in what ways?
Well, it changes things a lot, and you know, every game has been different over the last week with Damian Lee missing games. You know, with Andre being out, with the matchups that we've had, we've gone different directions based on, you know, who we were playing, how we were playing. Andre is always a stabilizer, and, you know, the way we've used him this year, it's kind of, you know, 2 8-to-10-minute runs, you know, one each half, and he kind of keeps us going. So it has been a big adjustment without him, but it's also been a great chance for the younger guys to play, a great chance for Chris Chioza to play, who's been fantastic. And I always look at these times when guys are out as a really great opportunity for other guys to step up, and I think that's what we've seen.
We've seen Chioza and Juan Toscano-Anderson more than we've even seen the draft picks this year, and you've had success because of that. I know that they were just down in Santa Cruz, and my goodness, so was Klay Thompson. And that's got to be pretty cool if you're a Santa Cruz Warrior, and then all of a sudden Klay Thompson is in here dropping daggers on you in a scrimmage. Like, that is a tool that is available to you due to the proximity of your G League team that not every team in the NBA gets to enjoy. How nervous, though, do you get when Klay is, let's just say, out of your primary nest, and even though it's still kind of the Warriors nest, but definitely another nest? Do you get worried about what might happen when he's not under you?
Not at all. You know, Seth Cooper, who's the head coach there in Santa Cruz, has been on our staff the last couple of years. The whole staff was in training camp with us. We run all the same play calls, out-of-bounds plays, same actions. We're in contact. I talked to Seth a couple nights ago after their game late last week, or over the weekend, I guess it was. But, you know, we talk all the time. They're an extension of us. It's one of the great resources that we have with the Warriors. You think about it over the years, how many players have played in Santa Cruz. We've had coaches and training staff members go through there. It's just been a fantastic development tool, and it continues to be this year.
Does the fact that he's now getting to be on a floor and playing at close to normal speed allow you to maybe worry a little less about sort of his mental state? Because I know Marcus Thompson wrote the story about him sitting on the bench after that home game recently and looked like he was, you know, suffering the agonies of hell because he hasn't been able to get out there. Does the simple fact that he can get out and play in scrimmages now allow you to relax a little bit about that one part of him?
Well, you know, we've been, you know, aware of Clay's journey without ever being able to put ourselves in his shoes, you know, over the last almost 2 years, I guess more than 2 years. So all you can do is offer support, but nobody really knows what he's gone through. And so when you see him in a tough state and you see him struggling, it's really difficult. He's meant so much to us. We're all so close with him, and he's right there, though. You know, it's literally a matter of weeks, and so he's in good spirits. He had a great weekend in Santa Cruz. It's wonderful to see him, you know, happy and playing. But these last few weeks are going to be maybe the hardest time of all, because he feels like he's ready to play right now, and so he's still anxious to get out there.
In general, how would you grade him as a patient?
this year, fantastic. I think the first year after the ACL, that was, you know, after we lost to Toronto in the finals, I think there was a general exhaustion with the whole team. And so I don't know that Clay was around much. He rehabbed, you know, mostly in L.A. It didn't feel like he was part of the team that year. It was a strange year anyway, you know, given what we were all dealing with. But over the last year, he's been in our building, you know, pretty much every single day. And he and Rick have worked together hand in hand, and Clay's been a great patient.
Steve Kerr here with us on 95.7 The Game. So, with it being a back-to-back with the Phoenix Suns, do you treat this a little playoff-ishy, more than just that atmosphere that we keep on talking about? Have you already sat down with Steph and talked about what didn't go well for him in this game and what adjustments need to be made going into the next one? Or is it not nearly the playoff feel that the media has hyped it up to be?
Well, it's all circumstantial in the regular season. So the fact that we had yesterday off and then a good practice today gave our staff plenty of time to look at the film. It gave us plenty of time today to talk to the team and to go through some things on the court. So we should be well prepared for tomorrow. It's still not the same level of preparation as for a playoff game, obviously, but I think where this game falls, it's about as prepared as you can be for a regular season game. So, and they play tonight. You know, they're playing Detroit here coming up, so they'll have a tough back to back. But you know, every night's different. The Spurs will be resting tomorrow night, waiting for us the following night on our back to back, and you know, this is how the NBA goes.
Are you prepared for a baseball lockout?
Well, you know, I think Kenny Smith once said, you know, a lockout in the off season is like saying the barbershop's closed on Monday. Like, it's always closed on Mondays. So who cares about a baseball lockout right now? If you tell me there's a lockout in April, then that'll bother me.
Well, that's sort of what I was getting to, because it certainly sounds like this is going to be a long one, and knowing how you like baseball.
I do love my baseball, so yeah, I'm hoping it ends before spring training.
When Clayton Kershaw throws his next pitch, whose uniform is he going to be wearing, Steve?
Oh, he's a Dodger. He's a Dodger for life.
You're a hell of a general manager.
Yeah, Kenley Jansen?
I think Kenley Jansen's a Dodger too. I think he had a great year this year. I would guess he's back there.
Now with Steve Kerr, who joined Damon and Ratto yesterday at 5 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Go to 95.7thegame.com if you want to go hear that interview over. And there was a couple things I took away from that, Chasky. One, about Klay Thompson. Yeah. Now it's literally a matter of weeks. These last few weeks may be the hardest time of them all, because he feels like he's ready to play now. And that's one thing that we should probably discuss here with our audience. You know, I get the sense that people think Klay, when he comes back, it's going to be all good. It's going to be the Klay that dropped 37 in a quarter. It's going to be the Klay that hit 14 threes against Chicago and broke an NBA record for most made threes in a single game. But I think they're going to have to slow play this thing, and the expectations should be tempered. may not play more than 20 minutes a game. He's not playing on any back-to-backs. They're going to be very cautious with how they handle Clay, and the real Clay may not appear until playoff time. Heck, it may not appear until next season, so don't you get the sense that people are expecting Clay to just be Clay right off the bat because of the videos we've seen in practice?
Yeah, I mean, of course, because people think life's a video game, right? I mean, they just think that he'll have 100% of his powers and abilities, and he won't be tired, and there'll be no emotional toll or any psychological toll. Mm. Yeah, that there's going to be a quote-unquote ramp up, and he might ramp up to like 60%, you know what right. I mean, of what we're accustomed to. He might just be 60% of the player for the rest of his career mm-hmm. on a good day. We just don't know. I go back to Bowman. When Bowman hurt himself, even when he came back, he wasn't the same Bowman.
He was never the same.
You know? And I'm not saying that's what's going to happen here.
It's Kevin Durant.
We just don't know.
It's Kevin Durant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, like, we've seen lots and lots of different other people where an injury like this, and again, we're going back 30 years. Like, Isaiah Thomas never really came back, you know? Stuff happens. So, we'll see what he ends up being. You brought up an interesting point about, you know, the closer you get to this, we're about a couple of weeks out. Is it two? Is it four? Is it a week? We don't know. We don't know. We're not really sure when we're going to see him on the court mm-hmm. in a Warrior uniform in a real game. But I had read a statistic, and I don't know if this still holds true, but the majority of accidents happen within, you know, a couple of miles of your home mm-hmm. because people get into, you know, into like robot mode where I'm on my way home and you're just kind of like kind of zone out or fall asleep on familiar paths and you get so close to home and that's when you run a stop sign, you go a little too far into the crossway or mm-hmm. somebody rear ends you or whatever. I don't know if that's necessarily still the case, but I had read that back in the day and it doesn't surprise me as we get closer to this return that's inevitable that he is going to want to maybe go a little too hard or maybe want to jump the gun a little because he's been going on for so long. When you're 6 months out, you know, you're still 6 months out. When right. you're a couple of weeks away, you can start counting the days right. and you can get a little overzealous.
Yeah, but let's pump the brakes on, you know, whether or not Clay's going to play 30 minutes a game. Heck, we don't even know if he's going to start.
Do people think he's going to play 30 minutes a game? Does that the impression you get?
I'm just saying that the expectations for his return, now that we're close to it, and you see a high-level game like we saw on Tuesday, mm-hmm. I think the expectations should just be tempered, and we should just be happy that Clay's back, and he will ramp up during the season, but to expect him to play right away and be Clay Thompson of old, I don't know, man. I think he hasn't played in 2.5 years. But another thing Steve Kerr said was he was talking about the Chasey Wentz comment. Remember last season he talked about, hey, we're not chasing Wentz.
I thought that was a throwaway line last year.
Well, a lot of people took it to heart. Oh. And they said, oh, really? You're not,
really?
You're not chasing Wentz. Really? Now, Steve Kerr did say that, look, man, we're a championship contender this year.
Okay.
Which is wild, right? 20 games in, you're like, man, coach is saying, hey, we're right back to where we were a couple years ago when we were making the finals every single season. All right, you're a championship contender. But he discussed last season basically saying, we're in developmental mode, and I wasn't going to burn Curry 40 minutes a game to get the 5 seed and not win the championship. Mm-hmm. This guy's got a few years left in his career. We don't want to burn this guy out on a team like that, and I agree with him. I did think the Chasing Wins comment was taken out of context.
Yeah.
Because, of course, he wants to win. Who doesn't want to win? But I'm glad that he clarified it yesterday.
Well, and if you look at organizational philosophies in general, they changed dramatically over the right. years. Bill Walsh, when he came in 1979, said, win the West. That was right. the banner. Win the West. By 1988, Bonte, was that a little different?
It was Super Bowl or bust.
That's it. That's literally it. Super Bowl or it. Like, when they lost in 87 to the Vikings, everyone knew there's going to be dramatic changes. Things recalibrate. Last year, it was, let's just get in the playoffs.
Right.
This year, we kind of know we have a better team. And right. it's win a championship or not with Steph Curry.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Championship contender, 20 games in. I want to get to that with Dub Nation. 888-957-9570. Is 20 games enough for you to believe that this team is ready for a championship run? 888-957-9570. The Warriors will take on the Phoenix Suns a little bit later today, 7 p.m. at Chase Center. Eddie Johnson, color analyst for the Phoenix Suns, will join us at 8:30 to talk about things from their perspective. The Phoenix Suns went undefeated in the month of November. Undefeated. We'll play you a soundbite from when they last lost a game this season. They've won 18 in a row, but we're going to take a pit stop here and go back to Seattle. Talk to Jake Heaps. He's a counselor, head coach at the Russell Wilson Quarterback Academy, also host on ESPN 710 up there in Seattle. Is this Russell Wilson's last ride up there in Seattle? Is it? We're going to talk to Jake Heaps for a few minutes here on The Roast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.